I still don't know if owning a home is like the most, is this an investment worth having? Because when do you cash in on it? Because the whole point of investing is to have capital eventually to cash in on, right?
Mm-hmm.
The American way of owning a home is you own it until you die. And so then you don't actually get to enjoy the fruit of that investment. Your kids do, if you have kids, I guess. Hey everyone, I'm Halis, a storyteller and filmmaker.
And I'm Mr. Halis, and I can stop drinking caffeine anytime I want. It's not a problem.
And this is the Stumblewell Podcast, a couple that you know talking about marriage, relationships, and anything that catches our fancy, to be quite honest.
You roll the music.
So this podcast, ipso, if you will.
It's a throwback episode.
Yeah, it's kind of like retouching on a topic.
We're open to buying a house again.
With what money? LOL. Non-existent money.
Yeah.
Buy us a coffee. There are past episodes. We'll link them in the show notes if you want to get like, if you want to get our feelings about it, like only 2 years out, I think, maybe, if that. It wasn't even that. Like maybe a year out of the situation. We did like a podcast episode on it where we broke down everything that we did wrong and like, don't make these mistakes when you're buying your first house. Yeah, I'll link it in the ISR on in the show notes as well. In the United States anyway, like 27% of houses actually aren't owned, that are on the market right now, aren't owned by like humans, by people.
They're owned by, what is it, stock traders or?
No, it's like hedge fund owners. I don't even know. Investment trusts.
Investors, yeah.
Yeah, it is hedge funds. I was right. Mm. But that's like part of the reason why homes are so expensive is because a lot of the homes, 27%, that's like almost a third. That's kind of insane.
What are they doing with these?
Yes, and convert the properties to rentals.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, houses should just be a thing that people own. It's like, oh, are you going to live in it? Yeah, cool. I don't know. I can understand making it like an income stream, but it's also like, well, how many houses do you need? I own like 8 houses and rent them all out. I think I'm like usurping, or not usurping. I'm just kind of like overturning the power.
Mm.
It's like, you don't need all 8 houses. Let other people buy and have them.
But what if people can't afford to buy and have them?
Well, it's specifically because of this that people can't buy.
Right.
And there's no low income. Well, there's no affordable housing.
Yeah.
Anymore.
Yeah.
Because people are just buying it and then building it up and then renting it.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the thing for me is it's been interesting to see my mindset shift from being like, I don't know if I ever want to rent again, or I don't know if I ever want to own a home again, to being now interested and then realizing that there's nothing really that I can afford. Unless I'm willing to live very far out. I mean, like Lawrenceville, that seemed cute. Saw a little townhouse in Lawrenceville. I shot this thing for a home designer, and she lives out in Lawrenceville.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, huh, maybe I'm a Lawrenceville person. I don't know, you know?
For some reason, I want to live someplace where we can walk to something.
I don't know if that exists in suburb land. I think if you're in suburb land, then it's suburby. Like, you got to get in your car and drive at least for 2 minutes, three minutes, you know?
Hey,
everyone. Welcome to this episode of the Stumblewell Podcast. Few quick announcements. So actually, first announcement I really want to make, we're going to Costa Rica August 24th through the 30th, and it's going to be a good time. We got, y'all, the itinerary, first of all, the itinerary is crazy. We're going to be snorkeling. We're going to be, what else? We're going to go see turtles. We're going to do a turtle nesting tour. We're going to go to 2 national parks. One of them, that national park, has one of the largest, like, barrier reefs in the area, protected barrier reefs in the area in Costa Rica. So it's actually, like, really cool. Anyway, it's like, the itinerary is, like, pretty legit. I don't know if I really told you about the itinerary like that.
I don't know if there was a protected barrier reef there. That's cool.
Yeah, that's where we're going to snorkel, is in that barrier reef.
Oh.
Yeah.
Also, Jurassic Park was like based near there, the movie, not possibly the books. But just imagine imaginary dinosaurs roaming with you as you snorkel.
So space is limited, but if you're interested in coming to Costa Rica with us August 24th through the 30th, check out the link in the description or the show notes. Because, yeah, it'll be a cool time. I think it'll be really neat. I'm personally excited. I have some extra gatherings that I've added to the itinerary as well that are completely optional. You don't have to come to them. But, you know, I'm me, so, you know, I'm like slow. I'm like designing some custom merch for the trip. Like, I just want it to be a vibe for everybody who's coming. But Mr. Ellis is going to come too.
I think I'll be there too.
Yeah, I don't think people realize that you're coming too. I didn't really like tell people like blatantly. I think because, you know, you just kind of, you know, when we travel, like, I feel like it's just assumed that you're coming unless it's for work. And then like, yeah, I guess you're not coming, I guess. But even then it's like, oh, you're coming, you know.
Just think of it as having a not private nurse. You just get into a health situation, you know, I'll be there.
Yeah, Miss Riley's will be there. It'll be great. Anyway, check it out. Link is in the description. There are 20 spots. And as of filming this video, six of them are confirmed. No, seven of them are confirmed as of filming this video. So spots are limited. Yeah, if you're watching us here on YouTube, thank you so much for watching. We really appreciate it. Like, share, subscribe. That really helps us out algorithmically. We really appreciate it in advance. So yeah, do that. And then if you're listening to us, wherever you get your podcast, thank you so much for listening. Rate us there. 5 stars is preferred, but we stand constructive criticism just as much as the next person. So do what you gotta do, but like, you know, be constructive with your feedback. And then finally, if you wanna take things a step further, join the Patreon, patreon.com/Jalees. There you get early access to these videos, exclusive content, merch, and so much more. It's a good time. And you can buy us a coffee if you want. Use the Ko-Fi. No, so apparently it's not Ko-Fi. I think someone in the comments corrected me and they were like, I thought it was still pronounced coffee. I was like, oh crap, is it?
That's what we talked about earlier, Weefy.
Weefy. Anyway, buy me a coffee. The link is here in the atmosphere, and I'm just not gonna say it because I didn't have time to look it up before they're filming this podcast. But buy me a coffee if you want, or tea.
It genuinely goes towards buying her coffee.
Yeah, it does. That's true. It actually really does. Anyway, buy me a coffee if you want, because we know that sometimes we know that there's like so many subscriptions out there, and so while we would love to have you on the Patreon, I understand that it's just like, yo, I don't want another subscription. It's like, okay. Coffee, please. Yeah, back to the podcast. I still don't know if owning a home is like the most... Is this an investment worth having? Because when do you cash in on it? Because the whole point of investing is to have capital eventually to cash in on, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the American way of owning a home is you own it until you die. And so then you don't actually get to enjoy the fruit of that investment. Your kids do, if you have kids, I guess, and you set it up for them to have your house.
I don't think people keep them till they die, though. Not anymore. I mean, that's still the case, but if you bought a home and then you sell it in a couple years and it has accumulated value, then yeah, then you can capitalize on that.
Yeah.
But if you sell it, it's like anything. If you sell the car after a couple of years and it's gone down in value, which of course they will.
Right.
Then you're just at a loss.
I mean, I'm not an incredibly handy home person. I would not consider myself a handy home person at all.
I'm not bonded by the state or anything.
Right. Well, sure. But I just think like, I feel like if you want to own a home, you have to kind of like want to be very DIY-y a little bit, unless you're buying like a brand new build and it's like, I don't know, it's like you're peeling off the plastic on everything. So it's like, I mean, nothing should go wrong with this house for like a while, right?
I feel like you do that to save money. And that's a very like traditional, I'm not going to gender it, but we can gender it. I mean, that's what it was decades ago, where it's like, I'm the man. We're not paying that. I can fix the plumbing. And then it's good for you. You draw the line at electricity because nobody knows what that does.
Yeah.
You plug into the two holes in the wall and all of a sudden like electricity comes out of it. It's magic. It's devilry, really.
That's one of my fears of owning a home, is just like having to now source handiwork and that being a whole other job situation of like, okay, something's wrong with the home. I can't just call anybody. I need to like vet this person and then schedule time with them to come. And then like one of us has to be here now because it's not like an apartment where it's just like, hey, we just finna come in because we have the keys to all the places. You know what I mean? Put your dog away. Like it's nothing. You can't do any of that. I don't know. I just start to think like, oh my gosh. Like there were enough times being at my parents' house when we lived there, or even when we were like just staying over, where they had a handy person come out, do everything. And then it turned out that like the thing was, I don't even know, $1,000, something crazy. And they were like, well, now we just don't have a water heater for a week because we need to now schedule to actually and like go fund that, you know, like, I don't know. And I'm just like, this is a lot, man. Seems like a lot. And for why?
So you don't have a stompy above you?
And I get that. But I don't know.
Wait, so do you even want a house then?
I think in an ideal situation for me, I'm just renting a house. I don't know if I ever want to own it. I don't know if I ever want the responsibility of home ownership, but I'm willing to take it on because I know that what I want is like kind of dumb. Or not dumb, but just like not feasible. You know what I mean?
What, renting a house?
Yeah, because like renting a house is expensive. By the time you...
Well, we're renting now is expensive.
Well, sure, but like actually, so if we were if we actually tried to like rent a 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom house in Atlanta, I'm sure that's somewhere in the 3,000s. Like we get into like mortgage territory.
No, yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's like low threes, mid threes.
Yeah, and so then it's like, why are you... I don't want to say throwing away money because I think that's dumb when people use that argument, but why are you spending so much money if like all you have to do is move a little further out and now your mortgage is $1,800, but also you've had to put a down payment down. So like what's the, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like we start to get into all the math.
The whole equity argument.
Yes.
Which it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
It's just debt. It's just all debt.
Yeah.
It's just like... Because the bank owns the property.
Right. Yeah, that's the other thing that we quickly learned about owning a home is like you don't actually own it until you pay it off in 30 years.
But if you...
The bank is your landlord.
But so that's the thing, right? So if you buy a house for like $300K, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you end up paying $20,000 off, you owe the bank $280, but the house is now worth, you know, $400K.
Right. Yeah.
So... You pay the bank $280 and now you've got $120.
Right, yeah.
So
the math makes sense eventually if homes continue to grow.
Right, and if you have the down payment and if you're not in a bidding war.
Right.
We're looking, but it's just, it's expensive.
Yeah, it is very expensive. It's expensive enough to make it just not seem worth it, almost. Not even almost. It doesn't seem worth it.
So maybe if anyone lives in Atlanta, I know there's a handful of you. If anyone lives in Atlanta and has used the like first time home buyers program that they have here, you can't earn that much. Like the income restriction is actually, it's pretty low.
Yeah.
So you can't earn that much, but you can buy up to $375,000 house.
Oh, wait, really? I didn't realize it was that high.
You can buy up to 375. 350, 375. I want to say 375. But so you can buy that house and you get, I think, upwards of 25K.
But what's the interest rate now for buying a home?
I don't know.
Because like an interest rate of like, remember ours was like stupid low. It was like, was it like 3% or something like that?
It might have been.
It wasn't 4 to 6,
something like that. It wasn't 5?
I don't think so.
Mm.
It was back when it was crazy, like, you know. But like that's a huge difference though. Like having a 3% loan versus like a 5 or a 10% loan. Over the years it starts to get insane. Anyway, sorry, continue.
No, I mean like so my question is if you're cuz your income is capped, like how are you affording 375?
Yeah.
Like you're not.
Right.
You're barely affording it.
Right. If at all. Because, like, what's the... Yeah, that's a good requirement.
It's, like, three... I think it's, like, three times the federal, like, the AQI, which is, like, the average whatever income. But it's, like, it's low.
Oh, I meant more, like, what is your... like, what's your monthly mortgage payment? Because if your monthly mortgage payment is, like, already hitting, I don't even know, 21, 22, 25K, and you're making, because you can't make over, wasn't it, it was like you couldn't make over 60?
It's, I mean, it's like 60 is not a lot of money.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Like, okay. It was like, you can't afford that anyway. Like, what are you doing?
Okay, so the program gives you 25K.
Yeah.
I think it's either 20 or 25. Again, a lot of this is very fuzzy, but it gives you 20 to 25 on 375. That's 25,000 would be 15%. So you're still not at 20%. So you're still paying the down interest insurance. It's down interest, yeah, oh, okay. Or down payment insurance.
Okay.
So that's tacked on still for the remaining 5K. Mm. So probably for the first, I want to say year, maybe.
Yeah.
You're still paying that much more. So your payment, your monthly payment is still high.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I don't know.
People are taking advantage of it, but like, it doesn't make sense. I'm willing to do it again. But I'm willing to try.
But are you willing to like be outside? Out there.
I don't quite know what that looks like, but I think so.
It looks like think about my sister.
I don't, because to me, when we drive out to Decatur, and we start visiting areas that are almost at the perimeter, and it looks very much like San Antonio. There's a lot more strip malls. There's a lot more.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, okay. There's not as much sprawl, and there's some sidewalk, but not a lot of sidewalk.
Yeah.
Because people are just driving.
But you could do that.
I think I could. Okay. I've changed. I know I've had a preference for walkability. Everybody has this, or maybe it was just me. I'm lumping everybody in with me, but I just had this like pie in the sky idea that it's going to be, wow, we're walking everywhere and it's great. Just everyone's enjoying the sun. And
I think that does happen here in Midtown a lot.
There's nobody screaming.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to take the good with the bad.
I don't want that. But that's why, like in my head, it's not good and bad. It's just good.
Oh.
And then we come here and it's like, what? I think I could do it again. Because I am somewhat quasi-handy. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's just like troubleshooting. Okay. Like, remember in the shambles when the water heater didn't work?
Yes.
And I figured out that the circuit breaker part of it was inverted.
Right.
And so we shut it off, inverted it, and then it cut on again.
Yeah.
So did that. And I've like troubleshot some stuff.
No, yeah.
I don't, I mean, let me not say no, you know? It's like, I can do it.
All right.
There's a hole in the drywall. Okay, put a patch on it. I'm not going to have, like, a tool shed, but.
Sure. I just know when I'm out of my element. I think that's me. I'm just like, I'm out of my element. I'm out of my depth.
It's just Google, and then you pull up a video on YouTube, and, oh, okay. Wait, what am I doing? Nope. Ain't doing that. Pull in the dishwasher and what? No, not doing that.
I would love the creative control of owning my own home.
Mm.
You know, of like design, having, but even then I think about that and like designing your own, buying a space, deciding that you want to renovate that space in some way and then doing that is like also incredibly expensive, you know?
We get to the root of the matter, which is,
it's incredibly expensive.
Is it ever not expensive to own a home? Or like, do you ever, that was the point that we had come, the conclusion that we had come to, which was you never have enough money to buy a home. Because you buy the home, right? And you put a good amount of money down, tens of thousands of dollars, right? And then there's still stuff you want to change. You don't buy the shell and then you're like, oh, and this is great. Because immediately when we moved into this condo, you were like, well, I want to change, that wall needs to be changed. And it did, like it needed an accent wall. This color that they painted here is weird and dark.
Like a weird haint blue situation. But like not true haint blue, it's like gray haint, blue, I don't know.
Grablue. And then the cabinets are a weird color. So it's just like, then you're buying paint and then you have to like spend a whole weekend painting. And then you're like, well, I don't like the way that this flows, but that's going to be a 2 or 3 year thing where we save up and then find somebody and then eventually fix it.
Right.
And it's like, wait, so you're saving up to do other stuff. And it's just like,
you're saving up to do more work.
It's like a boat. And I made this comparison before. It's like you buy the boat and you're like, great. And immediately you start spending, unless you buy a brand new boat, so a brand new build. And even then it's like you buy the wrong one. You're putting money into it. But you buy a used boat, which is what a house is. It's a used house. Other people have lived in it.
Yeah.
And it's made of dead trees.
Yeah.
It's gradually breaking down.
Yeah.
Just like everything else.
Yeah.
And so you have this boat and you're driving it around and it's all great. And then until you put the key in the ignition and you turn it and it doesn't turn over and you're like, well, I have part of a boat now. And then you spend thousands of dollars over and over and over again until you sell it. And the greatest day of your life is when you buy the boat and it's also when you sell the boat. Those are the two highest points in boat ownership.
You're like, you're touching on such a, I know you're like triggered with boat stuff because he grew up with a boat.
Oh, my dad.
Yeah, his dad had a boat.
Yeah,
a
fishing boat. Never learned that lesson.
Yeah. It was a beautiful day when he finally got rid of that thing.
So much.
That's how bad it was. I ended up hearing about the boat.
And you appreciated how much more space they had in their driveway.
I did. I was like, wow, look at this. Just pull right into this driveway. It's amazing. That's South Texas living, though. It's a different vibe.
But like, and it's just maybe I'm bougie.
I think that is the thing.
So many episodes of this podcast come down to me being bougie. Because it's like, okay, so house.
I don't think it's a struggle to want nice things.
I want to live in like a quieter area.
Team soft life.
Sorry. But I want that. No, I do. Yeah. So it's like, I want to, you know, like a little bit of yard.
Uh-huh.
I want it quiet. I don't want like a super busy street.
Yeah.
I want the neighborhood. I want the walkability. And it's like, yeah, you can have all the things. You ain't got the money for that.
Yeah.
What you do have the money for, if we pivot over this way,
right.
Is this wonderful home built in the 1930s and already triggered.
Yeah.
And
super triggered.
It needs, it's a fixer upper. It needs work. You can live in it, but...
Yeah.
And it's super affordable. Super affordable. $130,000. And already more flags.
Yeah.
It's like, no. Too cheap. Why is it so cheap? Well, there is a series of rat kings, and they all have their own territory, mm-hmm. and they are in the middle of a vicious turf war. So you're dealing with that, but it's $100,000. $130,000.
Remember that house on the hill we looked at when...
We should have bought that dang house.
When we were... you think so?
I think so.
Really? Because
it wasn't... We were both talking about it in the moment. We were like, well, you know, it's got...
This is news to me.
What? No, we talked about this before.
Dude, I don't remember this.
And I was like, it's...
Not it, you having a feeling of like, we should have bought it. That house was a mess, bro.
The house was a mess, but we qualified for a loan.
The K loan, yeah.
To fix it, so you even remember what it was.
Because I just had never heard of that kind of loan before.
We qualified for a loan to fix it. So like to build into the offer. So it's like, so how much work would this need? Blah, 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 blah. It was a weird yard.
It was literally on the top of a hill.
It was a hill.
This was in Austin, by the way. This wasn't even in San Antonio.
But that area now?
Oh, no, yeah. That area is like stupid.
We could have like... We would have sold it for three times what we bought it for.
Yeah, because it was in East Austin. So, unfortunately, incredibly gentrified now. So, yeah.
It's like beyond gentrified. What's the thing beyond gentrification?
I don't even know. Like, destroyed? I don't know. It destroyed in terms of affordability. That's what I mean by that.
And
obviously,
the culture, yeah.
And, like, the culture is, like, ravished. I don't know. I don't know what that means. That's a good question. It's a good word to learn. What's the word beyond gentrification? What happens when gentrification has done what it was trying to do and like everything's gone now?
Rat king. I mean, you can choose to bleep this or not, but to quote Maddie Matheson, it's rat fucked.
Okay.
It's just completely rat fucked.
Yeah. That's crazy, though. You think we should have bought that house? That's crazy.
I mean, it was something. Well, and you know what? It might just be hindsight.
That's why I'm just like, what? Because we walked in there. That house was a...
It was beyond dark.
It was. It had good bones.
It was. It was the hole in the universe where the dark first rolled out and took breath. That's how dark it was.
It had good bones.
There were no windows. There was a back area, a back sunken den.
Yeah.
That I think added to the darkness was the mold.
Yeah, because there was carpet in there. Remember, it was wet.
Oh, man.
Remember, we walked in there and it was wet.
I mean, it would have been completely gutted.
Oh, 100%. Like, again, it genuinely did have good bones. I do remember that. And both of us actually, acknowledging that. Of like, oh, there are four walls here. And, like, the rooms. Like, you could see. It was like, oh, yeah, no. I could see what this, like, could be.
But I don't think... It didn't have a driveway, right? It was too steep. Or did it?
It did, but, like, even... So it had, like, a... Oh, man. The memories are all fuzzed together because we also just looked at so many other weird-ass houses, too, in San Antonio and in Austin. But, like, remember it was, like, I want to say it was one where you pulled in... Because, first off, it was on a huge lot. I do remember that. Remember the lot was pretty big.
It was gigantic. But it was mostly unusable.
But it was a mostly unusable drive up the steep hill lot. And then, like, you drove up and then you parked and then you still had to, like... traverse to the house, you know?
I don't even know what that would have looked like in a storm.
Right. Remember that compound house we went to go see?
Yeah, in San Antonio? That was weird.
That house was so weird.
That was weird.
That house was funky, man.
But you and I were like, there's something here.
But it's weird. Also, the vibe was weird in that. Wait, which one are you talking about, though? Are we talking about the same one?
The compound one, the one that was like pure concrete. And it was like a series of two or three different units.
Yeah.
And it was a corner lot.
Yeah. But didn't we see another one that also felt like a compound-y kind of unit, too? Or is that the same house? Am I just talking about the same house?
There might have been stairs
that led to other rooms. And like, that house was just so expansive, but somehow still felt like, you still felt trapped in it, like small, you know?
It was
what I mean?
Definitely.
The ceilings were very low.
Two or three units that were bought and then joined together.
Okay.
Because remember, it had that like ceiling, or no, it was just like covered.
Yeah, it had that covered cement. Yeah, the drop ceiling.
And everything was super short.
Everything was super duper short in that place.
Or I'm sorry, low.
Remember that one unit that Tina, God rest her. Remember that one unit Tina took us to? And she didn't even let us get, like, really look. We walked in and she was like, oh, God, no. And, like, she just, like, she's like, flip it around. Let's go. They lied.
What we should have done in San Antonio, and again, I don't even know if it would have turned out, but it was another flip. And it was one of the ones that I didn't want.
The other red door house.
Yeah.
That was a nice house.
Because it was a longer unit. There just was no storage.
Because it was a flipped house.
But it was nice. The neighborhood was sketchy. That was the thing going for the shambles that we actually
had. Yeah.
The neighborhood wasn't that weird.
No. It was just, the neighborhood was
It was rough, but it wasn't.
The neighborhood was older, but it wasn't like, yeah.
It was older, thank you.
It was an older, mature neighborhood.
And I mean, you still had people there, you know, doing shady stuff. But
that's everywhere. I mean.
But that other unit.
The other red door
was
house.
Not. I don't know. It was more rough.
I don't really remember the neighborhood that much with that one. I just remember that, like, the flip on that one was genuinely flipped well. Like, it actually was a very nicely flipped home.
And it had a nice yard.
And it had a nice yard. And we, like, pulled it, like, the yard and the driveway connected to, you know what I mean?
Right.
You pulled into the backyard if you wanted to, essentially. Yeah, and that one would have been cool. The layout was a little, like, not ideal. Because, yeah, it felt very shotgun.
It was very shotgun. And I think there were two bedrooms still.
It was three.
Was it three?
Yeah. It had three bedrooms. All the bedrooms were on the
right side, yeah.
And then it was like shotgun living room, Because, like, the kitchen was in the middle and then the dining was in the back. And so it was just like, you know what I mean? But the floor didn't creak.
Nothing looked bad. There just literally was no storage. And you have so much stuff.
Yeah, that was the struggle with that one. It had no closets.
Well, we would have taken up.
Correctly.
It had small closets. You would have 100% taken up like both of the guest ones. Yeah.
Which, I mean, looking back.
That doesn't matter. People don't need closets.
Yeah. Looking back now, it's like, oh. Was that so bad?
Oh, I don't know what the takeaway of this is. We are like, the trauma has left, that scars are only visual and we quickly move past them.
I do wonder if we didn't have so many homes that are just flipped and owned by these hedge funds, like how much would that affect the possibility of other, like more of us being able to own stuff? Like the disillusionment that we feel with home buying, it's unique to us because of the bad experience we had. But also, like, is it actually more of a symptom or a product of this situation, like across the country that we're in? You know what I mean?
I mean, it is. I think, yeah.
That just makes me kind of sad to think about.
Well, I think there's a lot of crappy homes out there.
Yeah, that's true too.
But people don't have a choice but to buy them. Because there's nothing else on the market and everything else is expensive. It is just, it's not really as possible for people to buy homes.
I still remember, I don't know if you, I mean, I'm sure you do remember this because you were a little older than me. So it's maybe a smidge more impactful. The thing I really remember most about like the recession and like the housing crisis of that time, the thing I remember the most is just coming home and like everyone's stuff being outside.
I don't remember. I was in college.
I remember seeing that a lot in my neighborhood growing up. And that was like I remember two or three houses down from me. And it was like the family that lived there, obviously we all went to the same elementary school and like all that kind of stuff. But I remember thinking as a kid, because I always, you know how you grow up and you can kind of tell where you stand socioeconomically as a kid. And so I always felt like, oh, my family doesn't make as much as like most of the families here on this block based on the houses and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And then you come home from school one day and it's like all the stuff of like a family you thought that was better off than you is just like out on the side of the street. And there's like all the like windows are shut off and like all the dad that there's like, I remember it so vividly. It's like a big yellow sticker on the front door.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I just remember for a couple months coming home from school where it's just like, you just see it again and again, like in the neighborhood. And it's just like, dang, times is crazy, bro, you know? And sometimes you see everybody's stuff out on the street because, yeah, they like literally kicked them out of their own home. And then they would be sitting there too because they would come home from work. And it was just like, because this is before, you know, smartphones and stuff where you can like have your alarm system do things, like all of that. It's before all of that. So people just came home from work and like were locked out of their house with all their stuff on the street. Maybe that's why I'm so like, I don't want a house. Oh no, we don't have time. But I think that might be something.
So there is no safety is what learned. What the takeaway message today is that everything could be taken from you.
I mean, everything is chaos, right? I definitely know that. But I do think that actually seeing some of the things I think that I have seen in my formidable years, I'm realizing now as I'm older, are probably the reasons why I do things the way I do them. And realizing it in the middle of filming this podcast, it's like, oh, that's probably why.
So we're revisiting something in the past and trying to see if our opinions were the same, finding out that they kind of were, kind of weren't. But it was interesting to see the difference. So I would posit in the comments below, tell us about something that's happened to you that you thought, wow, really changed my opinion about X. Like, I will never be able to eat wheat again, or I blah, blah, blah. You know, like just something that you thought changed you permanently that now you're looking back on and you're thinking, well, I mean, I wouldn't mind doing it again.
Okay. Stumble on.
And
we'll see you in the next one.
Bye.